Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. Again, what a blessing it always is just being in the Lord's house and sensing the presence of God in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 8, Genesis in chapter 8. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Noah, which is actually a study of the great flood as well, because you can't study one without the other. And it's a tremendous blessing to see what God has recorded in the Bible for us to understand just the conditions of the world and civilization before God destroyed all with the great flood. And man has always been the same. God created Adam and Eve, and that's all. They are descendants. All humanity is descendants of Adam and Eve. And the very same problems they had before the flood are some of the very same things that we have to work on today. And praise the Lord that we have the church today, especially in this 21st century. And it makes a tremendous difference in society, whether the world wants to acknowledge it or not, it does. But so we studied much about the condition of the world before the flood, why God destroyed the world with the flood. Last week, I can't go back and study all of it again, but last week we looked at the dynamics of the great flood, and there's dynamics. I mean, tremendous dynamics. There was three different sources of water that God used, and there was three to 4 miles above sea level was there water covering the entire earth, and just unreal. Just as we study this and what the Bible says about it. But during all of this, we know that God protected the ark and all of those that were in it. Even though everything else was being destroyed, God is able to protect what God would protect. And we need to make sure that we are under the protective hand of God as well. Not only can He protect us, but He can provide for us. And so we find this with what God did with Noah and all that were in the ark. Well, this evening we're going to be looking at chapter 8. We finished chapter 7 last Wednesday night. Now we're looking at chapter 8. And chapter 8 is the removal of the flood waters. The removal of the flood waters. And so go ahead and stand with me, and we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 14. Chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also, the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 600th, in the first year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this evening, again, as we come before you and looking for insight and understanding and a message from your word and this passage of scripture, I pray that you would just meet with us. And God, I pray that you would help each one here tonight to have an ear to hear what you have for them. Pray that you would empower and bless the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. So here we find that God had a design for all things, and God designed the flood, and now the flood was able to accomplish what God had it come to accomplish and destroy all things. And then chapter 8, after it had accomplished what God had it to accomplish, then it was time for God to remove the flood waters. And so as we look in chapter 8, the first thing that we find here that the Bible tells us about Noah and about the situation as God was ready to remove the flood waters, the Bible says, and God remembered Noah. Now, if you would tell me that my wife remembered something, then I, in my mind, I would think, well, that means that she forgot it until just now, and then she remembered it. That's not what the Bible's saying here. If any of us would say that, well, you finally remembered something, you know, it would indicate that you had forgotten something, such as an anniversary or a birthday or something of that nature. But an omniscient God cannot forget. And so based on what the Bible reveals about God and his attributes, and one of his attributes is he is omniscient, it doesn't mean that God had forgotten Noah. And so when the Bible says, and God remembered Noah, then what is that telling us? It's telling us that it was now time. It was now time to go to the next stage or the dispensation of time or to the next act that God would have in time. And his next act would be to remove the waters that he had brought upon the face of the earth and had saved Noah from by putting him in the ark. And now it's time to remove the waters and to get Noah out of the ark to continue with reproduction and society. But the idea here is that it was now time. We studied that God is a God of design. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to realize that. God's DNA is he does everything decently and in order. If God's involved in it, it is designed and it has intelligent design and it is done decently and in order. There is an order for all things. We find this from the very beginning of the Bible when it talks about creation and how there was an order because God had a design and his design was to prepare a place for humanity. And everything that goes along with that. And from the book of Genesis all the way through the very end of the book of Revelation, we see intelligent design in everything. And throughout the Bible, it reveals to us this idea of time. God's design and purpose for the flood. Now we find God's design and purpose to remove the flood. Because it is time for this. And so he's telling us, and God says, and God remembered Noah. And now he's going back and saying, this is what it was all about. The flood was all about not only destroying the world, but saving Noah. And what God had for a future for humanity. As we study the Bible, we find that there is a time for everything in God's plan for humanity. Especially Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and says concerning humanity, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And there's a purpose that God has for everyone in between those two events. But from the moment we are born, there's a design leading to the moment that we die. From the moment God designed humanity, there was time. God created time, designed time for humanity. And the Bible gives us a recording of time. There's a time for everything in God's plan for humanity. Look back with me to Genesis chapter 4. I want you to see this. Nothing new, but to be reminded of this is important. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. Adam and Eve had already fallen. God had dealt with that. Now Adam and Eve reproduce. And so we find that it was time for Adam's seed to be tested. In every dispensation of time, there is a testing that God has for humanity. And here we find in Genesis chapter 4, I want you to see the wording here, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3, in the process of time. In the process. Purpose that God has is somewhat designed in the process of time. In the process of time, it came to pass. Everything from the very beginning of time, there's a process of it coming to pass. The only thing that comes to stay is eternity, and time will be no more. A great thought, no matter what it is that you're going to, you can always believe this and understand this, and this too shall pass. Sometimes we don't want it to pass. If we're on vacation or if it's something we're really enjoying it, we want it to hang on for as long as it can. You know, we don't want it, but it will come to pass. The good times as well as the bad times. The valleys as well as the mountaintop experiences. Why? Because there's a process of time. God designed it that way. The Bible breaks it all down for us, but it's God's design. And so we find here it says, in the process of time, now it's time, after we've dealt with Adam and Eve and we've dealt with that situation, the next thing in time is now we're going to start dealing with the descendants or the seed of Adam. That Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering, and it goes on, it talks about, but what it is the idea there is Adam's seed is tested. Let's look at a couple others here. I want you to see this. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus in chapter 2. The wording is what I want you to see. It's found throughout the scriptures. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23 and verse 24. Moses tried to do it in his timing and was defeated. Had to leave Egypt. But now it's God's timing. And the Bible says in verse 23 of chapter 2 of Exodus, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and here it is again, God remembered. God had not forgotten about Israel. It was part of his design, but now it was time to go to the next point in time. Do you see that? It's not that God forgot. Just same with Noah. God remembered. The Bible is revealing to us it's time for the next point of time, the next event in time. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. I want to fast forward a little bit. There's so much more if you go through the rest of the Old Testament there. But I want you to go to Galatians in chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4 goes right along with this theme of process of time. God has designed it, and there's a purpose for it. Galatians in chapter 4. And verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come. Now who knew when this would be? Only God. But he had a design for it. He knew when it would be full. He knew when this time would take place. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Can I tell you, from the very beginning, God understood where he was going. And he designed it, and he purposed everything in time to get to where he was going. Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians in chapter 1. Verse 9 and 10. Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. New Testament through Christ, the mystery of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, the mystery of the New Testament church, that he would work throughout this New Testament church age, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation or the breakdown of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Wow. Let's fast forward now to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 19. Speaking to John on the island of Patmos, he says to John, write the things which thou hast seen. Past. And the things which are. Present. And the things which shall be hereafter. Future. So we find here that the book of Revelation has a little bit of everything. It has a little bit about the past, has a lot about the New Testament church age and dealing with the churches in chapters 2 and 3, and then it has much to say about the things that are yet to come, chapters 4 through chapter 22. The church is gone. So it's referring after chapter 3, the church is now raptured, and starting with chapter 4, it's what's going to take place in the process of time. Until the end of the book of Revelations, when time will be no more, because we're in eternity. And the only thing that comes to stay is eternity. So God's plan, past, present, future. With that in mind, think about a verse that all of us would probably be able to quote to some degree. You understand it. Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. In time, all things will. Because God says it. And if God says it, he has a design, he has a purpose. And if you love God, if you're called according to his purpose, listen to me, in time, you will be able to see how God was working his will and how it was designed for good. What a blessing there. And it goes all the way back to Noah. Goes all the way back to when the Bible says, all right, now this part, the flood came, accomplished what I needed to accomplish in the flood. Now the next event in history, the next event in time is, let's go back to Noah. He's in this ark floating around on an earth that is completely covered with water. Not knowing when it's going to come to an end. Only having his faith to go by. Well, go back with me now. Amen. Everybody follow me there. That's just the start of it, but that's the start of it. That's the start of now. The flood has taken, God has accomplished with the flood what he had said he would accomplish with the flood. Now let's get on with time. Let's go forward. Let's get on with what God wanted man to do in the very beginning, to replenish the earth, to establish a people that would worship God and acknowledge God and call upon the name of the Lord. It's time to remove the floodwaters. There was a progression of removing the floodwaters. Now, again, designed by God. He could have, if you will, blinked his eye, did whatever, said the word, been gone, but he didn't, because he wants us to understand that he does everything decently and in order. And whatever God does, there is a purpose and a design for it, and we see it. Helps us to better understand how the flood could have affected this planet. If you believe this, as we ought to. So the progression, first of all, we find here in verse 1, it says, and every living thing, God remembered Noah and every living thing and the cattle, and that was within the ark. And then God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. He started this process of removing the floodwaters. Several years ago, our sump pump stopped working and is in the middle of a huge downpour, as it always would do something like that, and our basement flooded. And so afterwards, I had to go down there and try to get everything out. And I realized at that time I'd never had to deal with any floods before inside the house anyway. And I realized that what you want to do is make sure you get what? Air circulating. Dehumidifier, a little bit of heat, cause it to leave. Amen. So, I mean, and we find here that it's somewhat comical. As you look back at this, he wanted to remove the water. And so he says the best way to do that is get some wind moving. And God made the wind to do exactly what he wanted it to do. So we find here the Bible says, and God made a wind to promote the evaporation and the retreat of the waters. Now, I don't know about you, but think about Noah during this time. Because now he's focused on Noah, because taking the water off is going to help Noah to be able to walk on dry ground once again. But Noah's still in the ark. He would be in the ark for a year, almost a year. It had already been 5 months of nothing but just seeing the world getting deeper and deeper in water. And now, God didn't say, all right, Noah, now what you're going to experience at this stage in your life is you're going to experience some wind out there. And this wind is actually good, Noah, because this wind is going to start, the flood has gotten as high as it's going to get. Now the flood waters are going to start going down. In order for that to happen, Noah, there's going to be some really great winds out there. Noah didn't have that. God didn't tell Noah that. No place in Scripture does it say that God spoke to Noah anymore after he went on the ark. For that full year, there was no communication. Noah was to live by faith. But he made a wind. So now Noah is on this ark, and now there is a great wind. Who knows what it's feeling like inside the ark? Well, in verse 2 it says, and the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. What God created in order to flood the earth was that purpose for that was over now. So the fountains also of the deep would not flood the earth again. God says, I'm not going to do it again, so you don't have to worry about all the waters under the earth coming upon the earth. He stopped it. And also stopped the windows of heaven. The atmosphere that possibly had never rained before until the flood. And so many believe that there was more of a just flood of water that came from the atmosphere, which would have been the windows of heaven open up, not really consistent with the rain clouds. This would have been another type of atmospheric type of a water upon the earth. We studied that a little bit last week. But we find here the Bible says it stopped. And the rain from heaven was, didn't say stopped, because it would continue to rain from time to time on earth, because that's how God would plan it for the rest of the history of man on earth. It would continue to rain. And so he just restrained the rain. Don't you love that? So the fountains and windows of heaven were stopped, because that is no longer going to be something that would be a natural, but the rain from the clouds, the rains, because they would continue, only were restrained until he dried out the earth as he wanted to dry out the earth. Rains were restrained for now. God's able to do that. But what I want you to see, and what we ought to see in this, is God says, I want you to see how I work. I want you to understand just a design of all things. I want you to understand how I do things, and everything that I do, there's a purpose and a design for doing it. Verse 3, and the waters return from off the earth continually. So from the time that he stopped the waters from coming from beneath, and he stopped the waters from coming down from the windows of heaven, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days. Now the 150 days was how long it was that it continued to fill up the earth. Not just for 40 days and 40 nights, but as we study this, it's talking about the water continued to rise for 150 days, which would be some 5 months. Then after that, the water started to go down. And the Bible says, as they started to go down, now remember, the water was only 22 feet above the highest mountain. That's what the Bible says. And so once it dropped 22 feet, in verse 4 it says, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Now, still no visible sign yet of the mountains. But this ark would have taken so many feet of water to be able to float. And so before the mountains would actually be exposed, the ark would be grounded on the tops of the mountains. Amen. Everybody with me here tonight, come on. Now this, really, it's information, but it's information to help us to better understand God and how he works. So the ark bottoms out. Noah would have felt that. Have you ever went aground on a boat? And you think, oh, I thought it was deeper than this out here. Yeah, you know that you've went aground. It stopped. And most of the time, if you're not, you got to get out of the boat and push it out. So it grounded the ark. And however deep it would have had to be for the weight of the ark, can you imagine the weight of the ark and how many feet of water it would take it to float? What I'm saying is God helps us to understand that he tells us exactly every minute detail that we need to understand about the great flood and God's design to remove it. So now the waters are starting to go down. The ark now gets stuck on the top of the mountains on Ararat. Verse 5, and the waters decrease continually until the 10th month, and the 10th month on the first day of the month, 2.5 months later, after it bottomed out. 2.5 months, Noah's in the ark. God's not speaking to Noah, as far as we know. There was no need for God to speak to Noah at this time. He felt the ark hit something, but these just water, couldn't see anything. 2.5 months later, verse 5, I want you to see this. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, 2.5 months later, and the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. God gives Noah a view. God gives Noah a view of what was to come. Still hadn't spoke to him. Still trying to figure out what's going on here. I mean, the winds, first of all, I felt the ark going up. I could tell that the waters were going up. And now I could tell the waters going down. And there's a great wind. And now we get stuck in the top of the mountains. We go aground. And there for 2.5 months. You see, we think that all this happened just 1 minute after the next minute after the next minute. 2.5 months after it was grounded, before he ever saw anything, and when he finally was able to see something, he seen the top of the mountains. And for Noah, it was dry ground. Dry ground. There is hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And this is what God gives him. God didn't say anything yet, but he gives him a view. Helps him to see this. Light at the end of the tunnel. As we continue on in this, we find Noah's patience based upon his faith. Again, there's no mention of God speaking to Noah until it was time for Noah to come off the ark. And the thing of it was, there was no need of any further instructions until it was time. God put him in the ark, sealed the ark, and he was to wait there until God called him off the ark. No matter what you hear, no matter what you experience, no matter how dark it becomes, no matter how afraid you might be, by faith, have patience. God has a plan. Joy cometh in the morning. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Why? Because that's God's design. No matter where you're at, no matter what place of in your life and what you're going through, listen to me, God is this very same God that worked in Noah's life, that works in our life. He has a purpose and a design for everything that he allows to come into our lives. Only time will reveal it. Only time. How much time? That's up to God. Did Noah know he would be in this ark for almost a full year without hearing from God? Nope. No need for any further instructions until it was time for God said, all right, Noah, now you need further instructions. Get off the ark. I'll tell you what I need you to do next. Today we have a Bible. There's no need for any new revelation. You're not going to hear a voice from God. You're not going to experience meeting with an angel. You're not going to have a vision outside of something that is already revealed in the Word of God that you might be thinking about, and because you ate too much pizza last night, you had a dream or whatever. God does not work that way. You're not going to hear a voice from God. You're not going to see God. Why? Because there's no need of it. He has given to us His Bible, and He says, trust it, and by faith, just do what it says until it's time for me to give you further instructions. Amen. That's true. We don't see God speaking until verse 15 when the Bible says, and God spake unto Noah, saying, from the time that God says it's time, get on the boat, until the time that all this, almost a full year, God did not speak to Noah. He was to live by faith in what God had already told him. Trust in God and have patience waiting on Him. Verse 6, once he saw the mountaintops, he knew it was getting closer. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days, after he saw the mountaintops, 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made, and he sent forth a raven. 40 days after seeing the mountaintops, he sends forth a raven. A raven is a bird that could survive in rugged conditions. He could eat fish. He could eat whatever the mud would hold. There was food out there for the raven. He could fly back and forth, and there's always seen the mountaintops, so we know that he could actually stop in the mud. He could handle that. There was a raven. Verse 8, the Bible says, and also he sent forth a dove. But when he sends forth the dove, look what it says. To see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. To see if a dove could survive. A dove is a clean animal. A raven would have been an unclean a bird. But he sent forth a dove to see if. Now he's doing what he can do to get as much insight as what's possible, but he still hasn't heard from God, and he still has faith. He's just getting as much information as he can by what God had already given to him. I love that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the dove went out three times. Came back the first time, wasn't any place that he could even stop at. He couldn't land on the mud. You can imagine as the waters are going down, the type of condition the ground would be like. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, took her in, pulled her back in. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark to see what had changed. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. Look what it says. So Noah knew. Getting information. Information that would have been available to him by using whatever God had already given him to find. And so now he's getting it. He is a little bit excited now, because now the dove came back, but the dove has some kind of a green leaf. Mean that God has already started preparing the earth for humanity. And so now he's getting more excited about what the ultimate goal is going to be, is get off this boat. And he stayed yet another 7 days, patiently waiting. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening. Noah knew the water. Wait a minute. And the dove came in unto him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him. Now he knows she's able to survive. She didn't come back. So, verse 11. And the dove came into, or no, Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. That's what he knew. Verse 12. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again to him again. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Noah still didn't get out of the boat. But he's preparing to get out of the boat. Because the last message he heard from God is stay in the boat. I sealed you in that. Don't get out until I tell you to. But he knows it's close now. In the second month, the 7th and 20th day of the month, after another 2 months, once he knew that the dove survived, didn't come back, he took the top off the boat. Another 2 months he stayed on the boat, patiently waiting, knowing it was coming, for God to speak to him and give him further instructions. Verse 15, we're done. And God spake unto Noah in his time. Can I tell you that it helps us to understand who God is? God continues to work the very same way as he always has. And tonight, I think the message would be, we must have faith just to wait on God. I guarantee you, we still have enough to do to keep us busy. Amen? But God does have a future design for even you and I. Until the rapture, though, he's told us everything that we need to know. By faith, just do what God tells us to do and wait on further instructions. Powerful truth. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.